Welcome, folks. If you click play on this, you're probably a fan of mine, so you know who I am. I am Matt Dolph. I'm with 98.5 The Sports Hub. And this is a podcast without a name. It's the podcast about nothing. It's well, it's really about the New England Patriots, but we really have no idea how this is going to go. I'm here with one of our resident Patriots experts, Mr. Alex Barth. Alex, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good. You want to go? We could just go super bland and call it Patriots Podcast.
Yeah, that's
Podcasted Pats.
The Patriots Pod is the working title. We'll figure something out.
View from the Gillette Stadium lighthouse. If we want to get like elegant with it.
Yeah. Alex is used to being the
play by play.
Alex, yeah, we'll figure that out. Alex is used to being a play by play stiff, but the turntables, Mr. Barth.
You had fun that day. Like that was a good time.
We did a Madden stream the other night for the last preseason game, and we had some viewers. We had like literally dozens of viewers enjoying the time with us. It was fun though. We might do something like that in the future if you like listening to us talk a bunch of crap about football and the Patriots. But we're excited because we want to give you something to listen to as far as the local football team on 98.5thesportshub.com. It's football season. Patriots ready to go. We are officially in week one, and it's obviously a fascinating – well, I don't know if it's obvious. People might not care anymore because you know who has left town, and he's wearing a pewter and orange or whatever the hell the Bucs uniforms are now. But in New England, I think it's a fascinating season because we have a new quarterback in town, and he's a former MVP. He's motivated to shove it up the keisters of everyone who didn't want to sign him. Obviously, we're talking about Cam Newton. It's Bill Belichick wouldn't tip his hand over whether Cam's starting, but he's a team captain. I think we know what's going on there. And Cam at our competitor said it was a match made in heaven. I don't know that it's a perfect match for Cam Newton to be in here with Bill Belichick, but I think for this year, I think it's good.
Yeah,
I think he has a quarterback wants to be here, wants to prove people wrong, he cares a lot about football. He is a smart football player, and he wants to play his absolute best football and maybe get that next contract if that's motivation. You know, I'm fine with that. As long as he plays well.
Yeah.
So do you have any initial thoughts on Cam Newton?
Yeah, so I will to quickly backtrack to something you said before about, you know, people maybe not caring because you know who was left. I remember, you know, going into the 2017 season when the contract situation started getting a little hairy, I remember putting out there that basically I said within the next 5 years, I think every Patriots fan is going to have to look at themselves in the mirror and ask themselves, really, are you a Patriots fan or are you a Tom Brady fan? And you can be both, but one is good. You're going to have to pick one. You're going to have to figure out which feeling is stronger than the other. For myself, it was Brady. It really was, because that's who I grew up watching. I was 6 years old when he won that first Super Bowl. Like, that was
– Jesus.
Sorry.
I'm fossil. I was in high school. I was already trying to score some beer and weed and all that stuff.
Who says I wasn't at 6 years old? No, but that that, you know, that was my childhood.
You
so, like, don't get me wrong. I grew up 5 miles from the stadium. I mean, you know, I'll always be – even covering the team, a part of me will always be a Patriots fan. But, you know, it's going to be different without Brady. The lens I look at the team through is going to be forever different without Tom Brady, and I'm going to root for him in Tampa. So, you know, I think a lot of people who didn't want to ask themselves that question suddenly have the answer to it, and I think there's a pretty stark line drawn between those who are – and just because you're a Brady fan doesn't mean you're not a Patriots fan or not a Belichick fan. You can root for both to succeed, which nobody seems to realize, which is bananas.
No.
And then that brings us into, again, I think the idea of Belichick succeeding with Cam Newton is a ton of fun. Because another narrative people have going into the season is we're finally going to get the answer, you know, who was more crucial to the operation, Bill or Tom? And I think Bill winning with Cam shows that he can win without an elite quarterback, but I think Tom Brady has a very real chance to be successful in Tampa. And I think that, you know, both needed each other. I think Bill would have been great alone. I think Tom would have been great alone. But does either one of them reach GOAT status without the other? I think, you know, iron sharpens iron. I think greatness elevated greatness in both cases. And Cam's a really interesting guy to watch to kind of throw into the third wheel of all of this, because he is a guy who in his own right has a massive chip on his shoulder. He was a first overall pick. He took what was, you know, essentially an expansion franchise. The franchise was less than 20 years old when he took them to the Super Bowl. You know, he is the face of that franchise, more or less. Some people might say Steve Smith, but I think it really is, when you look at the history of the Carolina Panthers, that is Cam Newton's franchise. And they decided they didn't want him anymore. And in some ways, in some ways, that is a more emotional decision and more backstabbing decision than what happened between Brady and the Patriots, I think. So
arguably,
for him, so for him to come in here and you made with a coach like Belichick and just kind of funnel in, I mean, he's mad. Cam Newton is really, really mad. And we saw with this, with the Celtics last night, to go cross sports for a minute, when you take finely tuned athletes and you piss them off, you want, you can end up with a hell of a product. Right. And you have a guy that when he's healthy, and we don't know how healthy he is, and he hasn't been fully healthy in a number of years, and some of his injuries are definitely chronic in nature. But you have a guy that when fully healthy, in terms of the toolbox, is top five in the league at his position. You've taken that guy, given him an excellent coach, and then pissed him off. And that's a ton of fun for me. The potential within that is a ton of fun for me. So that's how I'm looking at it.
I don't know how you could call yourself a Patriots fan and not find that fun. But just circling back to the whole thing about getting the answer between Belichick and Brady, I don't think we're actually going to get the answer. There might never be an answer. But you're completely right about how they help each other.
In terms of fanhood or in terms of who's more important?
Just in terms of who's more important. The past,
you'll never get the answer because it's impossible to answer. Because both are right. It's a little bit of A, a little bit of B.
Yeah, it's possible. It's impossible. What we saw the previous 20 years with Brady and Belichick is the result of putting the best quarterback and the best coach in the league on the same team at the same time. You get an absolute run of domination. That's what happens. But now you have the best coach of his generation with a very good, very talented quarterback who's had good runs in the past. And you have the greatest quarterback of all time going with who's a good offensive coach in Bruce Arians. So I think they are both going to succeed. Well, you don't think
I think Bruce Arians is pretty overrated, if we're being honest. I think Brady's going to succeed. He's got a ton of weapons. But, like, what – you know, people talk about Bruce Arians is this quarterback whisperer, this great offensive mind. Everywhere he succeeded, there was a quarterback who was pretty already established. You know, he hasn't really raised any quarterback, so to speak, taken any young players and elevated them.
I'm not talking about developing. I'm just talking about putting up points. I think they're going to score. The question, like, is Bruce Arians going to get all the situational stuff right? Is he going to score that up? You know,
what I'm worried about is people are going to disassociate or people are going to associate winning with Brady's success, because I could see Brady, you know, I could see, like, more than once this year, Brady throwing for 400 yards and the Bucs losing. Yeah. I wouldn't rule
that
out.
And they lose 31-28 or whatever.
Yeah. So I think Brady's going to put up numbers. I also don't think Tampa's going to win the division. And Tampa not winning the division doesn't mean Brady didn't have a good year. Yeah. So, like, he can put up numbers. And one, they've got, I think, the best team in football in the Saints in their division. And two, they've got a questionable offensive line, and they've got some major questions on defense. So, you know, Brady putting up 400, it's going to look a little bit like it did in 2011 in New England. Brady putting up 400 yards does not guarantee a win for the Bucs this year.
We've already moved away from the Patriots a little too much.
So yes, let's get back.
Let's circle back to the Patriots. But this just goes back to my overall initial take on the offense, the 2020 Patriots offense. I think they're going to be better than they were in 2018 and 2019, because 2018 and 2019, I think it's pretty clear now that you had a Tom Brady who was half in, wasn't putting as much work in as he had before, wasn't going to all the offseason workouts, didn't have the same connection with his teammates that he had before, as far as receivers are concerned anyway. You got all these new receivers coming in. One of them is a first-round pick who we'll see how he is as far as consistency and staying on the field and all that, but I think it's clear that he has some athleticism. He has some talent that you can work with. Brady didn't seem to have – he seemed to have run out of – he was already impatient when it came to guys picking up the system or young receivers or anything like that. He had run out of that. And he admitted to Howard Stern that he thought – in that interview with Howard Stern that he thought 2019 was his last season. So I think he played that whole season with one foot out the door, basically. And you saw the way he acted on the sidelines, the way he was flipping the helmet in Houston. The guy – obviously he's the greatest of all time, but I don't think he wanted to be here anymore. And I think now – Bill Belichick has gone from a half-in Tom Brady to an all-in Cam Newton. And is Cam Newton ever going to reach the same heights as Tom Brady? Probably not. Could they win a championship together? I mean, that's a tough question to ask right now. We got to see how it looks on the field. But Cam Newton is a guy who played in a Super Bowl before. He has some talent. He does put work in. You saw the offseason workout videos. He's motivated. He does want to get that one last contract. So I think you're going to see a way smoother operation on offense. I think you're going to see everybody on the same page. I think you're going to see Cam Newton and the receivers on the same page. And the only question is, you still seem to be lacking at receiver and tight end, which I think that brings us back to the aforementioned N'Keal Harry. What I wanted to ask you about, because I just find it so annoying how people are giving up on him after one season, and they said, oh, he's played half a season. And yeah, I get it. Like part of the challenge for an NFL player, any position, is to be available. You know, the best ability is the dependability, or whatever the exact quote is. And he's been on and off the field, whether it's training camp or a regular season. So we got to see that he can do that consistently. But the guy's got talent. We saw it with the touchdown against Cowboys, the touchdown against the Chiefs that should have counted. Like the guy has the ability to make some plays out there. And, you know, is he going to be Julio Jones? Is he going to be DeAndre Hopkins, one of these elite guys? We don't know yet. But I think that's my point. We don't know yet. I don't want to write the guy off. And I think, the whole receiver group sort of hinges on how he performs. And so I think we need to see how he looks on the field in a full season before making any like sweeping judgments on him. But, obviously we didn't see much of N'Keal Harry because we didn't go to camp, but it's a limited access.
Right.
But, I mean, what are your thoughts on N'Keal Harry? Because I think you probably saw him play at college. You knew about him coming into the league a little bit. I mean, what do you think about his short-term outlook this year with Cam Newton?
So, I really liked Harry coming out of college because I thought he could do a lot of things they were lacking offensively. And when he got in the game last year, they just didn't have him do any of that. They kind of, you know, I thought, okay, cool. Here's a new toy for Josh McDaniels and Brady. Here's a guy that kind of breaks the mold. They can put some new plays, new routes in the offense. And then they didn't. So I actually think N'Keal Harry kind of – I attribute 90% of his struggles last year to the coaching staff, and it was twofold. First off, he should have never gone back into that preseason game in Detroit after he tweaked his hamstring. That was mind-blowingly dumb for me. Like, that was honestly one of the
– It was so frustrating.
Right. It was legitimately one of the weirdest things I've ever seen Bill Belichick.
It was frustrating because he made like, a couple of big plays. And they were like, right, wow, he might be popping, like, right away. And then he got hurt. So
There was no reason he needed those reps. So that bothered me. And then when he came in, like I was just saying, this is a guy who you should be running down the field, throwing jump balls to, or getting in the ball in open space and around screens, right? What you shouldn't ask him to do is go one-on-one with a slant and make a hands catch. That's not his game. He's going to get beat on that. He's big. You want him bodying defensive backs, both at the point of the catch and when he gets in the open field. And they just didn't really give him a chance to do that. They were using him like he was Philip Dorsett. It's nothing against Philip Dorsett. I always thought Philip Dorsett was underrated, but you know, you don't really have two more opposite receivers in terms of the prototype and the build than Philip Dorsett and N'Keal Harry. And they kind of wanted him to be this, you know, quick slant, comeback, precise technician. And that's not who he is. That's never who he's been. And I'm not saying his route running doesn't need to get better. It does. But, you know, you talk about playing to a guy's strengths. And Bill says this all the time, and McDaniel said it to us today. Put a guy in a position to succeed. They were putting him in a position to fail. They were taking all of his weaknesses and saying, do that. And it was very strange. And you can read that one of two ways. One, they drafted the guy to develop and completely change him, which is bizarre, right? The way he played, the way they used him, they should have taken Terry McLaurin. They should have taken Terry McLaurin because that's the guy to put in that role. That is exactly the guy to put in that role.
I wanted AJ Brown.
Well, that was that was last year. Okay, or AJ Brown is another guy who he was 19 and not 18. But that's another guy, exactly. When you look at the role they gave N'Keal Harry last year that wasn't ideal for him, that's a role that AJ Brown would have thrived in. So, like, maybe it was that, or maybe just it was something with Tom or whatever, where they weren't ready to put this new role into the offense yet. So what I'm hoping with N'Keal, I'm not writing him off as a player because he didn't show me anything last year in terms of what he was doing that said, this guy can't play in the NFL. All I learned last year was the Patriots don't know how to use this guy. So now with another offseason in the books and a new quarterback and likely a new offensive system coming in, I want to see what his new role is. Because if they put him in a position to succeed and play to his strengths, high-pointing balls, bodying out corners, getting him the ball in the open field on screens and end-arounds, if they give him a chance to do that, I think he could impress a lot of people. If they put him back in the role he had last year, he's going to suck again, and it's going to look like a busted pick. But I'm not going to blame him for it because, again, he's being put in a spot to fail. It's just really odd because the Patriots never do that. They are so good at finding a guy, figuring out the exact role for him, and putting him in that role and getting the most out of each player. I've really never seen anything like this before from them where they just misread a guy so badly. That's what they did with Harry. I'm hoping that changes this year, and I think it will. I do.
I think it will. Yeah, it does go back to the quarterbacks for me because, like, we've heard so many times in the last couple of years of Tom Brady, separation, separation. Nobody can get separation. You know, they need receivers that can get separation. Not that you don't need separation or that separation's overrated, but isn't it just more important for a guy like Brady who's all so dependent on timing and reading the defense and making sure everyone's in the right spot, and the right spot is, you know, a couple feet ahead of the defender. Whereas you got a guy right. like Cam Newton who will escape the pocket and make up and improvise plays and heave it down the field in a spot where N'Keal Harry might just be running up against a guy one-on-one, and it comes down to high-pointing the ball in a one-on-one contested situation. Like, wasn't separation more important for Brady than it is now than you think with Cam Newton?
So, yeah.
Offense is what I'm
yes. asking. I would disagree just because – Brady was more accurate. And if you're more accurate, you don't need as big of a window. I think people have this idea of separation. You know, they see what Julian Edelman can do. They saw what Josh Gordon could do, and they're locked into this idea of separation being getting a step or two ahead of the defender. That's not all separation is. It certainly can be. But N'Keal Harry, I don't know if this is an official term or if a coach would ever use this, but what I've always called it is natural separation. When you're 6'3", in the corners 5'9", that's separation. Yeah. It's vertical. Okay. It's not horizontal. That would be another word for it. It's vertical separation, right? If you can jump half a foot higher than the guy covering for you, that's natural separation. You're going to be able to get yourself in a spot where you can get to the ball and the defender can't. When you have a guy who's so big like Harry and is so good at high-pointing the ball like Harry, there's some natural separation in there. You know who is great at natural separation is Rob Gronkowski. How many times did he make a catch with two guys hanging off of him? But you never heard people say Rob Gronkowski needs to get more separation. He needs to pull away from defenders.
No, he's open when he's covered.
Exactly. That's another way to put it. He had natural separation. So I looked at, you know, Harry being drafted at the same time as they lost Gronkowski, and I was like, oh, this is going to be that guy. This is the guy on 3rd and 10 over the middle of the field, defenders hanging off of him. Brady's going to get him the ball because it doesn't matter if there's somebody on him. Brady's so accurate and he has the ability to make contested catches that, you know, it kind of seemed like a logical pairing. They never really gave him that chance. So, and I don't know if that was Brady's accuracy fading or the coaching or whatever, but, you know, when people say N'Keal Harry needs to get separation, he has separation when he steps on the field. Just because he's so much bigger and stronger more often than not than the guy who's covering him. Look, if you go up against the Steelers and it's Minkah Fitzpatrick, it's another story. And, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick's one of the best defensive backs in the league. N'Keal Harry's not one of the best receivers. You hope he gets there. But against a guy, you know, like Logan Ryan, right, or Eric Rowe, I'm just pulling off the names of former Patriots corners, or, any of the Jets rotation of bums they throw out there, N'Keal Harry is separation the second he takes the field because he's bigger, stronger, and he can jump higher than the guy defending him. I don't, you know, it would be nice if he could get 2 yards beyond the guy on a slant and take off down the field. But if that's what the Patriots wanted, they would have kept Jeff Thomas. If that's what they want, Demir Byrd will be the number two wide receiver. N'Keal Harry has natural separation. The Patriots just need to use it. And so to bring it back to your point, do I think it's more or less important this year? I think it's different. With Brady, they were in more of a position to capitalize on it in terms of the game plan, and they didn't. Yeah. Well, I think Cam's going to throw a lot.
Brady, like you mentioned, like the comeback routes and things like that. Right. It's really like they tried to fit him. They tried to shoehorn him into what Brady wants to do with an outside receiver. So I just think he's a better fit for Cam Newton than he would be for Tom Brady. Is the point I was trying to make.
Okay, so when it comes to Cam, Cam's going to throw a lot of 50-50 balls. That's what he does. He likes to take risks, and when he's on, more often than not, they pay off. But that requires a guy, you know, before he ate his way out of the league, Kelvin Benjamin was excellent with that in Carolina, and Cam made the most out of that. when Cam's throwing 50-50 balls and you have a 5'10 safety and a 5'8 corner, Nikhil's going to have a chance to capitalize on that. So, you know, it's going to be less by design this year, but no, Cam Newton is absolutely a guy where natural separation can come in handy. And I think that I would hope that N'Keal Harry gets a chance to show that off this year.
So let's switch gears to the defense before we move on to the week one opponent, which is the Miami Dolphins. There's going to be a lot of concern about the defense this year because there's a lot of turnover, guys opting out. I'm worried about the front seven in particular because I thought they had to improve the run defense and their pass rush. And I think you could argue they got much worse, but they at least lost a ton in terms of experience as far as Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, Landon Roberts. They basically reset the linebacker position. And so you have Juwan Bentley, who's going to be the defensive signal caller is what it sounds like. Dietrich Wise described him as a field general type of linebacker, which isn't terribly surprising for anyone who's, you know, followed Juwan Bentley or watched him throughout his career. But he's never really had that opportunity, and so now he's going to play a majority of the snaps. Secondary is still going to be excellent. I'm not worried about the cornerbacks or the safeties. Even with Chung out, I think Adrian Phillips was a really good signing. They have Kyle Duggar. But, you know, new faces at linebacker. Defensive line, I don't think they made really upgrades unless you consider Bo Allen an upgrade in the run defense. We'll see what Byron Coward has. Really worried about the front seven. We'll see if the rookies could pop early on, but I really doubt it because you just don't see it very often with Belichick. So, I mean, I don't know. Are you as worried as I am about the defense?
No, I actually think people are underrating the defense. I think, you know, I don't want to lump the front seven together because I actually really like the defensive line even without Bo Allen. I think Lawrence Guy's their most underrated player on that side of the ball.
Nothing wrong with Lawrence Guy. I like Lawrence Guy.
No. You know, Adam Butler has given us no reason to think he won't make another jump. He's been such a fast learner. And I'm, you know, shocker, I'm a big Anthony Jennings guy. And it's not just because he comes from Alabama. He's so freaking smart. He's just so – I mean, you know, a guy like John Simon and Chase Winovich told us this week, like, nobody's better at setting the edge than John Simon. Anthony Jennings is kind of that same mold. When they play the Ravens, and I think Anthony Jennings, at least to start, is going to be a guy who, you know, he'll play 80% of snaps 1 week and then 20 the next. I think he's a guy that you use in spots. Against the Ravens, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a monster game because you need to be strong and you need to be able to think quick to play the edge against the Ravens. And those are the two things he does. He has an 80-inch wingspan, and he's got, you know, a supercomputer in his head. So – that I like. The linebackers, yes, there's some concern. They're very young. They're not very deep. But I think you're going to see – I think you're going to see some new stuff from the Patriots defensively. You're not new to the Patriots, new to the league. I actually think they're going to be very innovative when it comes to – well, you know, you talk about the front seven. I'll say the back seven or the back eight.
We'll see big nickel, a lot of nickel and safeties playing hybrid roles, things like that.
I think three or even four safety sets will be the majority of their defense.
You're counting Jawan Williams as a safety in this scenario.
I'm counting Jawan Williams as a safety. I'm counting Terrence Brooks, and I'm counting Adrian Phillips in that too, because I think what you'll see a lot of the time, Uche and Jennings and Winovich are good. I'm counting them as edge guys in this. They're going to rotate in with the pass rush. You'll have Bentley in the middle as the communicator. And then unless there's a play where you need to send big bodies downhill, you know, a second and one, a third and one, whatever it is, I think they'll look to go smaller. And they have safeties they're comfortable putting in the box and setting the edge and coverage, whatever it is, in Phillips and Brooks and Duggar. And I think they feel comfortable with that guy being a de facto second linebacker or even putting two of those guys on the field, one on each side of Juwan Bentley. I think you're going to see a much smaller, quicker defense from the Patriots. They'll beef up when they need to, but it fits in perfectly with the kind of teams they have to play on their schedule. It fits in perfectly with the bend-don't-break mindset. And we know how Bill Belichick loves to innovate the game. He completely changed what the tight end position is. He removed the fullback position from football altogether and then brought it back 10 years later single-handedly. This guy loves to leave his mark on the game. And as offenses start to change, and I think we're entering a new era of offense right now in the NFL, of course Bill Belichick is going to say, all right, everybody wants to come up with new ways to run offense. I'm going to come up with a new way to run defense. And he has the personnel to do it. Deion Buchanan got cut today. released by the Cardinals, former first-round pick. He's a 6'1", 211-pound linebacker. I would not be shocked to see him in New England, because I think that's what Bill Belichick wants at this point. He wants as many – he just wants freak athletes on that side of the ball. He wants,
that's what it seems like, yeah.
Right, 6 foot, 220-pound, 4'5", jump at 4'5", 40, jump out of the building. Just, you know, he wants
small. Just do what I say.
Wants NBA, right.
Like, just
wants
do what I need you to do. I don't care what it is. Just be an athlete and then listen to me, and
right.
we'll match up that way.
He wants to load up with Semi Ojeleye and Marcus Smart on the defensive side of the ball. And they have the personnel to do it. So yeah. Why wouldn't they is kind of how I'm looking at it.
It certainly does seem like he's moved away from, I guess you could call them cerebral players who are less athletic and more towards the athletic guys that say, well, I'll coach this guy up. And as long as he was,
I wouldn't say
he's making plays out there.
I wouldn't say less cerebral, because Duggar's a very instinctual
stupid
player.
But like he has just focused more on athletes, I think.
Well, no, I think these guys are all football IQ. I think what he's gone away from is a guy who's going to win at the point of attack based on sheer size, right? A guy, look, he'd take Willie McGinnis if he could get him, but he's incredibly talented. But Willie McGinnis was a guy who that, more often than not, he had the advantage going into the matchup based on size. Bill Belichick was building big defenses. They were slower, but they were bigger. That was how he won, because that's what he knew, because the reality is – he's one of the very few coaches left who was in the league when size was everything on defense. Now it's speed, and instead of catching up to teams getting smaller and quicker on defense, he's getting ahead of how small and quick they've gotten on defense. And instead of guys who are going to win with size, he wants guys who are going to be quicker. You know, if you're going up against a 330-pound guard, it was one thing to have a guy in Willie McGinnis who could bench press. You know, bench press was off the charts. Now he wants a guy who can duck under the arm. So I think that's where he's going. I don't think it's about intelligence at all. He's always wanted highly intelligent players, and he has highly intelligent players, some of the most intelligent in the game. I think he's gone from, you know, just oversimplify it. I don't think this is actually how he did it, but oversimplify it. He's gone from looking at the bench press results at the combine to looking at the 40-yard dash results at the combine.
That's fair. I just feel like sometimes he goes out of his way to get a guy with no athleticism, like a Jordan Richards type draft pick. Now he's like, all right, I'll take Duggar. You know, like,
I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Richards, you know, the results that he has are somewhat behind this shift.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
That's true.
So that's not a bad name to invoke here.
I mean, I hope you're right. I think we are going to see the secondary is the strength of the defense still, and it might be even better than last year. So I think you're going to see them incorporated as much as possible, whether it's
– I mean, real quick.
Safeties, whatever.
I know we need to get to the next thing, but this could look a little bit like a Legion of Boom, where you just have these athletes out there running around, getting themselves in the right spot. Not like in terms of ability. I mean, that unit was stacked, but – you know, what you had was a bunch of freak athletes with great instincts who knew how to get themselves in the right spot and make the play on the ball. Didn't matter who had the ball, didn't matter who was in their way, they were going to get to the spot and make the play. That is kind of what this Patriots defense is built to do.
Yeah, look, if guys like Winovich and Jawan Williams and even Uche and Jennings, if they pop very, very soon, it's going to completely change the complexion of just the defense, but like the long-term outlook of the team. And yeah, it's a big year for Belichick, and I feel like Belichick is going to have the Patriots more prepared than any other team, which is what he always does. It's rare when you come out of a game saying Bill got outcoached severely there. That just doesn't happen often. And when you talk about like the lack of a preseason and then the reduced practices, everybody's dealing with the same thing, but they don't all have Bill Belichick. That is my philosophy, and I wrote about this on the website. 985thesportshub.com. I think the way they've sort of adapted to not having a preseason and sprinkling in more situational stuff and making it more unpredictable is going to sort of have these guys ready to go. I feel like, I don't know if they're going to blow out the Dolphins or anything like that, but I think we are going to come out of that season opener saying, okay, Patriots are ready to go, and this crap team with a coach that's not nearly in Bill Belichick's league is not nearly as ready to go. I think this is what we're going to see. And I don't know why it happens every year, but like it always happens, and then people are like, oh my god, how the hell did the Patriots do that? How'd they pull that one out of their ass? It was Bill. I think it was Bill most of the time. He has guys ready to go up and down the depth chart. I think you're going to see that this year, and I think that's how he's going to come up with some wins despite having perhaps maybe he doesn't, but if he has a less talented roster than the other team, I think he's still going to – they're going to win games with coaching this year. And just quickly before this turned into basically a season preview, which is fine because we're in week one.
Nothing wrong with that.
We're in week one. It's Dolphins week. I think the Dolphins still not a great team, and they guess what? They're on a one game winning streak against the Patriots. That was an embarrassment of a loss last year in week 17. Basically derailed any hopes they had of making a playoff run, thanks to Ryan Fitzpatrick and one just big play by Devontae Parker that set them up inside the red zone and last minute drive snatched the win out from under them. I don't know if Stephon Gilmore is going to get his revenge on Devontae Parker this time, but he needs to play better. They need to call the plays better. They need to play less conservatively. Hopefully we see an aggressive offense, whether they're running or throwing the ball. I hope they go at them and try to score and they're not slapping it out there. It looks sort of like they did in that last game. So, and is there anything that concerns you about the Dolphins as far as their chances of winning this game on Sunday?
I mean, you never know with Ryan Fitzpatrick, especially with two behind him.
That is scary.
the best Ryan Fitzpatrick ever plays. Like here's the thing. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a below average quarterback until you say he's in danger of losing his job. The second you say Ryan Fitzpatrick might be making his last start, he turns into peak Tom Brady. It's unreal.
Well, that might be a good thing. He's been named the starter, so that's a good thing.
He's got a top five pick behind him. He knows that he's not meant to finish this year as the starter. The second you put Ryan Fitzpatrick's back up against the wall, he turns into another player. I wish we had gotten to see – I said this last year. I didn't want Brady to leave. If he left, the one guy I wanted in New England more than anybody else was Ryan Fitzpatrick because I want to ride that roller coaster. I want to see what it's like. I want to try it. I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I know I'm going to have fun on the ride. But no, you can't ever count out Ryan Fitzpatrick. And
if I ranked like the players that scare me the most, or the players or teams that scare me the most going up against the Patriots, it goes Baltimore Ravens 1, Peyton Manning 2. Then I'd probably put Fitzpatrick 3. I think that's a fair ranking.
It's interesting you put it like that because Fitzpatrick, as of Sunday, will have started more games against Bill Belichick's Patriots than anybody but Manning. Well, he's tied with Roethlisberger when you count regular season and playoffs. His 13 starts are tied with Roethlisberger. What's more wild is that three of the top four are not division quarterbacks, which shows you how shitty. I don't know if I can swear on this. Sorry. Bad the quarterback play. I just want to be like one of the cool kids. Yeah. How bad the quarterback play has been in the AFC East, right? And Jay Fiedler's on the list. He hasn't played since the Patriots since 2004. I digress. There's a lot of familiarity in this game. You have a handful of former Patriots on the other side of the ball. You have a former Patriots coach on the other side of the ball and Brian Flores, who I think is an outstanding coach. You have Fitzpatrick, who's played Bill Belichick more than any quarterback currently in the league. Familiarity always scares me. It's a division game. That's the most dangerous weapon in football is when somebody knows your tendencies and has an idea of what you're going to do. Because, and Josh McDaniels told us this today. In week one, and I think this goes true for all division games, the most important thing you can do is adjust after the first quarter. And it goes back to the coaching like you were talking about. How many games have the Patriots won that were close at halftime and the decisions Bill Belichick makes in the locker room are just miles ahead of what the other coach does?
Right.
And the Patriots blow out and pull away in the second half, blow the other team out in the second half and win the game. That's not easy to do against divisional opponents, especially when you have a guy who's been in that room with Bill and seen him make those adjustments in a guy like Brian Flores. So now the Patriots, it's a very different team than it's been in years past. So they certainly have that going for them. It's two teams that are relatively overhauled, but no, the familiarity scares me. Absolutely. Ryan Fitzpatrick scares me because you never know what you're going to get from him. I do think you mentioned Stephon Gilmore and all that. When we talked to him earlier this week, he's normally a pretty reserved guy to begin with, but he said nothing. He was asked
even less than nothing.
Right. He was asked about defending Devontae, just specifically, what do you think of Devontae Parker? I think was verbatim the question.
And he's got a lot of good receivers.
He's not putting anything out there. We talked about chips on the shoulder before with the quarterbacks. This is a guy who, he didn't get to truly enjoy being named Defensive Player of the Year because of that one game.
Yep.
That one game kind of cost him the victory lap he should have had. I think he comes out and just plays. I think he's been watching tape on Devontae Parker since that game ended in week 17. this is the game he has been preparing for all year. They say take it 1 week at a time. Awesome, cool, whatever. No, this is his Super Bowl to start the season. I think you see a fantastic game from him. Don't feel great about the Dolphins, other receivers. So I think if the Patriots win this game, we're going to be talking about, you know, in every sense of the word, a Stephon Gilmore revenge game.
If Gilmore has another three straight first-team All-Pros seasons, we're talking Canton at that point. He's going to start getting consideration for ballots for whenever his career is over. Like, that's how well he's played and the accolades he's compiled. But, yeah, obviously, he's probably a top two or three most important player on the team once again. And the deep secondary is something they're going to have to lean on.
I think Gilmore – certainly the best player on the team. I don't know if he's the most important player defensively, though. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Obviously, if they lose him, that's a huge loss. But one, they have a ton of depth at corner. And two, he's kind of out on that island. The one guy I think they cannot lose, the one guy I will absolutely panic if they lose, is Devin McCourty. Because so much of what makes the Patriots defense good is what they do pre-snap. The Patriots defense is actually most dangerous before the ball is snapped, believe it or not. Their ability to read what's going to happen, to adjust, to get themselves in space. Yeah. We saw the amoeba defense and how that just tortured opposing offenses, right? So that's all communication. How deadly they are before the snap is all communication. Two of the three top communicators won't be on the field this year, and Dont'a Hightower and Patrick Chung, and Harmon was another big one on that back end. So that all falls on Devin. You're asking him to – like, Gilmore isn't really much of a part of this because he's kind of out there on the side of the formation on his own. So you're asking Devin to do what you previously asked four players to do. And this isn't knocking him. If there's anybody I'm tasking with that, and I think we'll pull it off, it's Devin McCourty. But it's a huge ask. That's a massive ask. And if you lose him, all of that pre-snap advantage goes out the window. Right, it's nothing against Juwan Bentley. It's nothing against Kyle Duggar. It's nothing against Terrence Brooks, Adrian Phillips, any of them. But Devin has seen more football than most of those guys combined.
Yeah, right? I don't even want to think about this. I don't want to imagine a world without the Patriots glue guy and defensive captain.
Gilmore's absolutely the best player. Right, Gilmore's absolutely the best player. But if there's one guy either side of the ball, I don't care if it's Cam, Edelman, whoever. If there's one guy either side of the ball they cannot afford to lose this year, it's Devin McCourty. Because with him goes all of the pre-snap defensive mastermind stuff they do.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, hopefully you don't have to lean on Juwan Bentley to do too much of that, I suppose. But, yeah, that's the transition they're going through. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like you feel better than I do about the defense, but we're sort of on the same page about the offense, and I think they're still going to be good. I'm going to get you my prediction at some point. Alex is posting season predictions from Sports Hub staff, some of them more serious than others, more promising than others. The bubble NFL season is upon us, and we're just happy to be talking about football, folks. And I hope you enjoyed this. Do you have any final thoughts before we sign off, Mr. Barth?
I'm just so happy we got here. I didn't know we were going to get here. Just
this start is why we got here. Yeah, I can tell with how excited you're getting. You're getting all hot and bothered. Calm down. See, this is why we brought you aboard. I like to have you. I like to pick your brain between you and Evan Lazar. You guys have forgotten more about football than I'll ever. I'm sorry. It's like, God, I'm dumb.
We need to.
I go to Evan. I'm like, spider 2Y banana. Tell me how it works. You know?
People are still linking Brady and Edelman, and that's got to stop. You got to stop linking me and Evan. We're different. I at least once a week, somebody calls me Evan on Twitter. We don't work for the same company anymore. We're different people. I actually enjoy having fun. He does not. Like, I love Evan to death. Don't get me wrong. But yeah,
you guys are basically paternal twins, you know. So, I mean, you're just going to have to live with that.
But, yeah, no, I woke up. You know, I'm not a morning person at all. My brain doesn't start functioning until noon. You see the typos on my Twitter, anything I tweet in the morning. It's awful. I need to be better. But I woke up with the biggest smile on my face at 8 a.m. Monday morning. Somebody asked me, I can't believe you're so happy. I said, it's football season. What's not to smile about? My alarm on Monday was the Monday Night Football theme. That's how much of a nerd I am. But I'm so excited.
Take it easy over there, Barth. Christ's sake, we got to clean up
The pants have come off.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, that's obscene. Wearing pants all week.
Guys, he has removed his pants. It is disgusting. We need to get out of here.
It's been off.
But I'm telling you, that sunrise, that when I get up out of bed on Sunday morning, it's going to feel great because football is done.
Beautiful day by you two will be my alarm on Sunday.
Public service announcement. All right. Thanks for listening. I'm not sure exactly where this is going to be posted, but you'll be able to hear this on 985thesportshub.com, potentially wherever you get your podcasts. But we'll try to make this a weekly thing. Don't really know what it is, but it's the – I guess it's well, just the Sports Hub Patriots pod for now. I'm Matt Dolliff. He is Alex Barth. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again in week 2.